May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus makes some awfully big promises in our gospel reading today. I will go to prepare a place for you, Jesus says. I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. I will do whatever you ask in my name, Jesus promises. These promises might speak to us of hope and resurrection and new life in the midst of this Easter season. That is all about hope and resurrection and new life. They are big promises. They are bold promises. Yet hearing these promises might kind of sting, too. The first part of our gospel reading today is often read at funerals. And I'm guessing more than one of you have sat in these very pews and heard those words read over a friend or loved one. When you've lost someone that you love, you know that some days Jesus promised to prepare a place for us can only bring you so much comfort. And will Jesus really do anything we ask in his name? It's painful to consider this in light of healing that we pray for that never comes. Or when you sit with unmet needs or broken relationships and you feel you've prayed in Jesus' name so many times without seeing a result. And the one that really gets me, the one who believes will do the works that Jesus does and in fact will do greater things. In an age when the church seems to be dying off and fading away, it seems that the ones who believe often cannot do even the simplest things despite their belief and their best efforts. These promises may indeed be a comfort sometimes, but in other times they will certainly leave us with questions and doubts, with tears in our eyes and a lump in our throats. I wonder if any of those questions or promises crossed Stephen's mind. They took him out to stone him. Stephen, guys, we got a reading about Stephen today. Stephen is our saint, of course, here at St. Stephen's. We don't really get to celebrate his feast day because the feast day of St. Stephen is on December 26th, the day after Christmas. I'm usually off that day, and I think most of you have other things to do than sit in church on December 26th. But it's good for us today, then, to consider this story of Stephen. Stephen has just been ordained one of the very first deacons in the Christian church. Deacons were meant to serve at the table, that is, to distribute the food evenly among the community, and especially to make sure that those in need had the food that they needed. Deacons were to take up that task in order to free up the apostles to go about and preach the word, to preach Jesus' story. But in this passage, we still hear Stephen, a deacon, preaching. He is sharing the good news of God in Jesus and what God has done in and for the world. Now the people, you might have noticed, they don't like this sermon. I'm really glad you guys have never treated me like the people treated Stephen that day, because they have a violent, visceral reaction to his preaching, and they drag Stephen out of the city to stone him. I wonder if he thinks about Jesus' promise to take him to himself as he is horrifically killed. I wonder if he thinks of the promise that he would do great things as the stoning begins, as he is martyred before his ministry can get much of a start. Each Tuesday, I gather with other pastors from our conference from Eastern Nassau to read and study the week's scripture texts. And this past Tuesday, these were exactly the sort of questions and doubts and wonderings that we were considering. We thought of the times when it seemed like these bold promises that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John today, we thought of times when it looked like these bold promises were not kept, when they didn't hold water, when the promises had been broken for Stephen, or for our churches, or for us personally. Then the vicar in the group piped up. And you may or may not know, in the Lutheran tradition, a vicar is a seminary student doing an internship, not yet ordained and called to a church. And as our conversation about God's unkept promises came to a halt, the vicar piped up and asked us, "What is the greatest thing Jesus did?" What is the greatest thing that Jesus did? We hesitated a moment, and then each of us pastors began to offer our guesses. "Multiplying the loaves and fishes to feed 5,000, one pastor said. "Teaching the greatest commandment," one person offered. "Teaching us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's a teaching that can change the world. That is the greatest thing Jesus ever did." "The raising of Lazarus," was my answer. "Pretty impressive. Life from death and hope from despair." "Water into wine," another pastor joked, of course. But it was clear that none of us had offered precisely the answer that the vicar was looking for. So think to yourself quietly. What do you think? What would you answer? What is the greatest thing that Jesus did? Maybe it's more obvious to you than it was to clearly a group of overly educated pastors who couldn't see past the end of their noses. The greatest thing Jesus ever did, the vicar was die. The greatest thing Jesus ever did was to go to the cross to experience death so that the way to eternal life might be opened to all. The greatest thing Jesus did was to forgive his enemies from that cross. The greatest thing Jesus did was die. That truly is the message at the heart of our faith. God likes to turn things upside down from the way we would expect them. That's a pattern repeated over and over throughout all the Old and New Testament. A man whose life is violently cut short is still remembered centuries later. A student does some of the best teaching. An event that to us looks like the saddest and most horrific, most terrible part of Jesus' life is actually his greatest act. So Stephen does do things as great as Jesus, doesn't he? The promise is not broken for Stephen, it's kept in a very true way. Stephen dies. Stephen dies proclaiming the good news. Stephen dies forgiving his enemies. Stephen dies. I truly hope that none of us gathered here today are called to follow in the footsteps of our patron saint, Stephen. I truly hope that none of us here will be called to die for our faith. That none of us will have to do, after all, the greatest thing that Jesus did. But we are the people of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church. And as the people of St. Stephen's, we must consider what it means to follow in the tradition of Stephen. What of ourselves might we sacrifice or give up in order to see the faith brought to future generations? Where can we forgive those who would rather see us dead? How can we rely and trust in the promise of God to get us through even the darkest day? Stephen's vision of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God sustains and strengthens him for what he must endure. So too will we see visions of Jesus each day. Us, the people of St. Stephen, might not see them in that visual way where the heavens open up and Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but just because our visions are not Stephen's vision doesn't mean that they aren't there. Wherever there is reconciling or healing or life-giving work being done, that is God at work. Wherever there's life in abundance, that is where we see a vision of Jesus in our midst. If we want to be sustained by God in our calling, we need look no further than Jesus. And to be sure, it's a difficult calling if we are to truly follow in the steps of Stephen. It is not easy to sacrifice something of yourself for a benefit in the church that you may never live to see. It is not easy to forgive people who would murder you with their own hands and see you dead. Heck, I don't know, for me, sometimes it's not even easy to forgive someone who cuts me off in traffic or cuts in line in front of me at the grocery store. It's not easy. It is not easy to follow in the footsteps of Stephen and to truly know that presence of God and be sustained by it on the most awful day of our life. It is not an easy calling to be the people of St. Stephen's. And so together, we look for those signs of God at work in the world. Together, we point one another to where there is life and healing and hope. And together, we join together in a way that the church always has. A way that the church has always sustained itself and reminded itself of the presence of God since its earliest days. Together, we're going to sing. That's partially why we sing in church every week, to remind one another, to lift ourselves and each other up. And so we're going to sing together our hymn of the day, and it's a new song. So I'm going to invite you to listen to Tracy sing it once through, then we'll join together at the first verse. And when we get to the end, listen to me. Listen to me, because I'm going to make you do something at the end. But listen to Tracy first, and let's join together in singing.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Let's stand and sing.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving.
bulletins and set them down. We're going to sing together from the heart. Lord, I want to be like Stephen in my heart. Let's sing together.
Lord, I want to be like Stephen in my heart.
Amen.